Escuelas oficiales de idiomas de Andalucía. Comprensión oral. Inglés. Nivel avanzado C1. Tarea 1. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
Extract 0.
What about you, Alex Dan, do you have, are you real tree, artificial tree? What team are you on?
We're real tree. I mean, we just always go to the parking lot of the local shopping center, and they unpack them from Merrill, Wisconsin. They're nice people. And they saw some maple syrup, too. And I try to get my family to go out and maybe cut one down, but this is the tradition to just go a mile away.
Christmas vacation.
Yeah,
they unpack
them
on
Thanksgiving. See, that's the work I don't want to do. I don't want to cut anything down.
Nope.
Time.
No. Pull it out of my attic.
Yeah, exactly. Same tree.
It smells better.
Years
though.
In a row. I don't know about that smell. We'll debate that. Tell me on YouTube, what do you think about the smell? I'd love to know.
Extract 1.
Council drama that I got to get into, because we learned the daughter of 18th Ward Alderman Derek Curtis suffered an accidental gunshot wound during a gun safety class that he was teaching last week. This is coming after the alderman accidentally shot himself in October. What's going on here, Alex?
I mean, you pretty much said it. He was cleaning a gun. He accidentally shot himself. He had to have a surgery on his hand.
So he shot himself in October, and now his daughter shot herself.
So there are conflicting reports at this point whether he accidentally shot his daughter or whether her brother accidentally shot her. It's confusing. It's unfortunate. It's bizarre. He was teaching a gun safety class, and someone was handing her a gun, and it went off.
Okay.
Extract 2.
What exactly is aquaponics? High school senior Seville Bell sums it up.
Poop from the fish goes into this little tube, and it feeds the nutrients to the plant and helps it grow. And the plant cleans the water and goes back to the fish tank. So I like that part, because it's all about recycling. So you're not really using a lot of water, or you're not cleaning the fish tank.
So much is about recycling here. Old Mountain Dew bottles are used to help water flow into plants. Old shoe racks have been rebuilt to hold classroom easels for teaching.
Extract 3.
With book challenges come challenges to the librarians themselves. Patty Hector, Suzette Baker, and Terry Leslie were fired after refusing to move books or take them out of the collection entirely.
I loved what I was doing. I was doing a good job, but you know, it was politics. And I was informed that I would be fired.
Well, I made the mistake of going on television and saying, no, I'm not going to remove those books.
I spoke out and said, this is censorship. We can't do this. This is not right. It is not something that we can have happening in our community. And I was subsequently fired.
Extract 4.
You know, the little free library trend, I think, is really awesome. So we took that and said, well, why don't we offer free food? Community members can come and just take what they want, and then other community members can come and put food in. We settled on taking old newspaper boxes that have been discarded and just painting them. The food tends to only be there for about 3 days at max. Everything is packaged. We're not putting fresh fruit there. We've often been asked, what if someone comes and takes everything or does something like that that is not in line with kind of sharing it for anyone who needs it? And our response is that it's our duty to refill it. We understand that that's a reflection of the conditions.
Extract 5.
On a sunny Friday morning, the cafeteria at Blaine Elementary School is buzzing with second graders who just wrapped up lunch. In a single-file line, they navigate a battery of plastic bins. Second grader Chloe explains what's happening.
If you have any leftover food or anything that you don't want to eat, then you can compost it in the compost bin. The other food that you throw away that you think that you can't compost, it has to go to a landfill, and it makes all these gases that are really bad.
Chloe and her classmates are part of an 8-week pilot program that collects lunch scraps every Friday and sends them off to a commercial composter.
All schools should do this because the planet would be a better place.
Composting is really important because more composting means less garbage.
I think that is really good because we aren't wasting food.
Extract 6.
Tattooing is easy. Somebody can get a tattoo done of a teardrop in less than a minute, and it can literally kill them the next day. It's a life and death thing, automatically. And I looked into it. I was like, I wonder how much tattoo removal machines are. And saw one online. It was like $4,000. And I was just like, it would probably take a long ass time, but let's see what it is. Usually gang-related tattoos, they come in two or three at a time. And for those two or three tattoos, or a single tattoo, we charge $20. It doesn't matter what size the tattoo is. It doesn't matter where it's at. It doesn't matter how many tattoos there is. $20. With me removing less than dime-sized tattoos from their face helps them live longer, I'd do that all day.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Extract 0.
What about you, Alex? Alistair, do you have? Are you real tree, artificial tree? What team are you on?
We're real tree. I mean, we just always go to the parking lot of the local shopping center, and they unpack them from Merrill, Wisconsin. They're nice people, and they sell us some maple syrup too. And I try to get my my family to go out and maybe cut one down, but this is the tradition to just go a mile away.
Christmas vacation.
Yeah,
they unpack them.
See, that's
them
the work I don't want to do. I don't want to cut anything down.
Nope.
The time.
No. Pull it out of my attic.
Yeah, exactly. Same tree.
It smells better.
Years
though.
In a row. I don't know about that smell. We'll debate that. Tell me on YouTube, what do you think about the smell? I'd love to know.
Extract one.
Council drama that I got to get into, because we learned the daughter of 18th Ward Alderman Derek Curtis suffered an accidental gunshot wound during a gun safety class that he was teaching last week. This is coming after the alderman accidentally shot himself in October. What's going on here, Alex?
I mean, you pretty much said it. He was cleaning a gun. He accidentally shot himself. He had to have a surgery on his hand.
So he shot himself in October, and now his daughter shot herself.
So there are conflicting reports at this point whether he accidentally shot his daughter or whether her brother accidentally shot her. It's confusing. It's unfortunate. It's bizarre. He was teaching a gun safety class and someone was handing her a gun and it went off.
Okay.
Extract two.
What exactly is aquaponics? High school senior Seville Bell sums it up.
Poop from the fish goes into this little tube and it feeds the nutrients to the plant and helps it grow. And the plant cleans the water and goes back to the fish tank. So I like that part because it's all about recycling. So you're not really using a lot of water or you're not cleaning the fish tank.
So much is about recycling here. Old Mountain Dew bottles are used to help water flow into plants. Old shoe racks have been rebuilt to hold classroom easels for teaching.
Extract three.
With book challenges come challenges to the librarians themselves. Patty Hector, Suzette Baker, and Terry Leslie were fired after refusing to move books or take them out of the collection entirely.
I loved what I was doing. I was doing a good job, but, you know, it was politics, and I was informed that I would be fired.
Well, I made the mistake of going on television and saying, no, I'm not going to remove those books.
I spoke out and said, this is censorship. We can't do this. This is not right. It is not something that we can have happening in our community. And I was subsequently fired.
Extract four.
You know, the little free library trend, I think, is really awesome. So we took that and said, well, why don't we offer free food? Community members can come and just take what they want, and then other community members can come and put food in. We settled on taking old newspaper boxes that have been discarded and just painting them. The food tends to only be there for about 3 days at max. Everything is packaged. We're not putting fresh fruit there. We've often been asked, what if someone comes and takes everything or does something like that that is not in line with kind of sharing it for anyone who needs it? And our response is that it's our duty to refill it. We understand that that's a reflection of the conditions.
Extract five.
On a sunny Friday morning, the cafeteria at Blaine Elementary School is buzzing with second graders who just wrapped up lunch. In a single-file line, they navigate a battery of plastic bins. Second grader Chloe explains what's happening.
If you have any leftover food or anything that you don't want to eat, then you can compost it in the compost bin. The other food that you throw away that you think that you can't compost, it has to go to a landfill, and it makes all these gases that are really bad.
Chloe and her classmates are part of an 8-week pilot program that collects lunch scraps every Friday and sends them off to a commercial composter.
All schools should do this because the planet would be a better place.
Composting is really important because more composting means less garbage.
I think that is really good because we aren't wasting food.
Extract 6.
Tattooing is easy. Somebody can get a tattoo done of a teardrop in less than a minute, and it can literally kill them the next day. It's a life and death thing, automatically. And I looked into it. I was like, I wonder how much tattoo removal machines are. And saw one online. It was like $4,000. And I was just like, it would probably take a long ass time. but let's see what it is. Usually gang-related tattoos, they come in two or three at a time. And for those two or three tattoos, or single tattoo, we charge $20. It doesn't matter what size the tattoo is. It doesn't matter where it's at. It doesn't matter how many tattoos there is. $20. With me removing less than dime-sized tattoos from their face helps them live longer, I'd do that all day.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 1. Tarea 2. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
Imagine being able to remember every minute detail of your life. You can recall what the weather was like, what you were reading, or what you wore to the shops at any minute, any hour, or any day stretching back decades. It sounds like some kind of parlor trick, but it's actually a real and very rare medical phenomenon. So far, scientists have identified 10 cases worldwide. And believe me, what these people can do will quite simply make your head spin. Mary Lou Henner has always been famous for remembering everything.
Hey, Mom, what day was Valentine's Day in 79?
It was Wednesday.
I've never explained how you do that.
I don't do it. I just see it.
And you can remember your whole life?
Yes, I can remember my whole life. And some things come up like right away. And then some other things kind of come up a little more slowly. But eventually everything comes up.
Mary Lou is one of just 10 people in the world who've been tested and proved to have superior autobiographical memory.
October 1st, 8th.
Total recall of every day of their lives. Such a gift has never been documented before. And scientists like Professor James McGaw are excited about where it may lead.
One of them said it's like a Google search, that you put it in and it just sort of, and there it is. And it's the year, and it's the month, and it's the day, and it sort of narrows in, and it goes bang, and they've got it. And this all happens very quickly.
That's how they explain to you how they do it.
Yeah, it's not a scientific explanation.
I understood it, though.
It really is like selected scenes on a DVD. It gets completely organized sort of in a timeline way, and I see the whole calendar sort of fall into place.
It's an extraordinary skill, and one that Mary Lou is thrilled to have. For others, though, like Jill Price, who was the first person to be diagnosed with this remarkable condition, it's a burden. Is it driving you crazy on the inside?
Yeah, sometimes it does. I mean, I really just want to be screaming at the top of my lungs most of the time, and I can't do that. So I have to keep everything in check.
When did you realize you had this ability?
About 5 weeks after I turned 14, and I don't really know why on this day exactly, February 5th, 1980, but from that day until now, it's every day. And so, you know, you pull a date out, boom, it's like I'm right there.
Every moment of every day. In desperation, she contacted one of the world's foremost experts on memory, James McGaw. He thought it was a hoax.
So I got out a very large book that was published at the time of the millennium, which has a day-by-day report of what happened in the past century. And I just randomly opened the pages and said, what happened on this day? And I was astounded by it because she could just tell me without even taking a deep breath.
Okay, now we're going to do so.
By the end of the day, Dr. McGaw realized he was dealing with something completely unknown to science.
It's extraordinary. It's the ability of an individual to remember in detail what happened to them on any day of their life after the age roughly of 10 or 12, and also to remember all of the major public events that occurred on any given day.
Louise Owen can't explain her gift, but says her memory is a bit like a muscle she likes to exercise.
That sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun.
This is where the saliva goes.
Dr. McGaw and his colleagues are getting closer to understanding this extraordinary ability.
Things are very color coordinated here.
They notice that the 10 confirmed cases are all highly organized, some to the point of obsessive compulsive disorder.
All of these subjects who have this strong autobiographical memory have some tendency to do some things in excess.
Now the scientists are doing MRIs, brain scans, on their volunteer subjects. And they've discovered something astonishing. In each subject, one part of the brain is enormous, up to 7 times bigger than normal.
This information that we provide may well turn out to be useful for understanding all kinds of disorders of memory, not just Alzheimer's disease, but brain damage from head injury and from encephalitis and all kinds of things.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Imagine being able to remember every minute detail of your life. You can recall what the weather was like, what you were reading, or what you wore to the shops at any minute, any hour, or any day stretching back decades. It sounds like some kind of parlor trick, but it's actually a real and very rare medical phenomenon. So far, scientists have identified 10 cases worldwide. And believe me, what these people can do will quite simply make your head spin. Mary Lou Henner has always been famous for remembering everything.
Hey Mom, what day was Valentine's Day in 79?
It was Wednesday.
I've never explained how you do that.
I don't do it. I just see it.
And you can remember your whole life.
Yes, I can remember my whole life. And some things come up like right away. And then some other things kind of come up a little more slowly. But eventually everything comes up.
Mary Lou is one of just 10 people in the world who've been tested and proved to have superior autobiographical memory.
October 1st, 8th.
Total recall of every day of their lives. Such a gift has never been documented before. And scientists like Professor James McGaw are excited about where it may lead.
One of them said it's like a Google search, that you put it in and it just sort of, and there it is. And it's the year, and it's the month, and it's the day, and it sort of narrows in, and it goes bang, and they've got it. And this all happens very quickly.
That's how they explain to you how they do it.
Yeah, it's not a scientific explanation.
I understood it, though.
It really is like selected scenes on a DVD. It gets completely organized sort of in a timeline way, and I see the whole calendar sort of fall into place.
It's an extraordinary skill, and one that Mary Lou is thrilled to have. For others, though, like Jill Price, who was the first person to be diagnosed with this remarkable condition, it's a burden. Is it driving you crazy on the inside?
Yeah, sometimes it does. I mean, I really just want to be screaming at the top of my lungs most of the time, and I can't do that. So I have to keep everything in check.
When did you realize you had this ability?
About 5 weeks after I turned 14, and I don't really know why on this day exactly, February 5th, 1980, but from that day until now, it's every day. And so, you know, you pull a date out, boom, it's like I'm right there.
Every moment of every day. In desperation, she contacted one of the world's foremost experts on memory, James McGaw. He thought it was a hoax.
So I got out a very large book that was published at the time of the millennium, which has a day-by-day report of what happened in the past century. And I just randomly opened the pages and said, what happened on this day? And I was astounded by it, because she could just tell me without even taking a deep breath.
Okay, now we're going to do so.
By the end of the day, Dr. McGaw realized he was dealing with something completely unknown to science.
It's extraordinary. It's the ability of an individual to remember in detail what happened to them on any day of their life after the age roughly of 10 or 12, and also to remember all of the major public events that occurred on any given day.
Louise Owen can't explain her gift, but says her memory is a bit like a muscle she likes to exercise.
That sounds exhausting.
But it's a lot of fun.
This is where the saliva goes.
Dr. McGaw and his colleagues are getting closer to understanding this extraordinary ability.
Things are very color coordinated here.
They notice that the 10 confirmed cases are all highly organized, some to the point of obsessive compulsive disorder.
All of the subjects who have this strong autobiographical memory have some tendency to do some things in excess.
Now the scientists are doing MRIs, brain scans, on their volunteer subjects, and they've discovered something astonishing. In each subject, one part of the brain is enormous, up to 7 times bigger than normal.
This information that we provide may well turn out to be useful for understanding all kinds of disorders of memory, not just Alzheimer's disease, but brain damage from head injury and from encephalitis and all kinds of things.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 2. Tarea 3. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
I'm Deborah Weitzman. Today, we're discussing budget-friendly bridal fashion amidst rising living costs for couples. We'll explore demand for cheaper off-the-rack wedding dresses, as well as sustainable choices like second-hand and rentals.
What a pity to kind of wrap it up in plastic and just never see it again. I think consumers these days are shopping with their wardrobes and sustainability so much more front and centre.
Also, we'll be investigating India's affordable high-end bridal replicas.
Welcome to our bridal suite. I'm so happy to have you here today. We'll take a seat on the chaise longue and then we can kind of look through the collection. So if someone wants something a bit more slinky, we've got those real kind of like lovely strapless pieces that the bride can wear that's not a big puffy, heavy ball gown where you just don't feel yourself.
Meet Henrietta Ricks, co-founder of the British fashion label Rixo. I'm currently at their brand new flagship store, located in the heart of Chelsea, which is one of London's most fashionable neighbourhoods.
We have the party pieces, which have the sequins and the feathers.
So what really stands out to me is the fact that these are ready-to-wear off-the-peg pieces. That must really simplify the shopping process for your brides.
100% different. We offer our styles from a UK size 6 to a size 20. So when the bride's trying on or looking at something, she doesn't have to wait 3 to 6 months for something to be custom made, to have several fittings, to travel to those fittings, take days off work, which I think is maybe a little bit dated now. She can really actually come in, have one appointment, and then actually go home that day with that piece.
How much are your dresses?
I mean, most of our dresses range around the £400-£500. Traditionally, maybe 5 years ago, there's no way you would find a bridal dress for that price point. To have anything tailor-made, you're talking minimum £1,000 upwards.
Here in the UK, brides shell out an average of £1,350 for their dream gown. That's around $1,700.
I am Dr. Serena Dyer and I am Associate Professor of Fashion History at De Montfort University in Leicester in the UK. Quite famously, Queen Victoria is credited with popularising the white wedding dress from her wedding in 1840, but she certainly didn't invent the tradition. Mary, Queen of Scots, for example, is believed to have worn white to her first wedding in 1559. So in European cultures, the white dress has become synonymous with the traditional wedding. The colour white has been associated with purity and virtue. It's also a colour that's quite hard to keep clean and launder, an opportunity to show off that you could afford this garment that would be impossibly impractical for day-to-day wear.
Fast forward to today, what traditions are brides bypassing to get the type of wedding look they're perhaps more comfortable with?
We're seeing both brides and grooms being more willing to express their own needs, whether that's through playing with gender norms, playing with colour, and the merging of cultural traditions. From a financial perspective, perhaps family inheritances for those lucky enough to have generational wealth are going towards house deposits rather than wedding dresses.
Fashion historian Serena Dyer there. Let's now return to the bridal showroom. Henrietta told me how proud she was to have launched their affordable wedding dresses during the pandemic, at a time when people were having to plan more minimalist celebrations.
We were almost ahead of the curve because we knew that people were starting to change their kind of ideas on how much they wanted to spend on a wedding and how ridiculous it was getting. And actually loads of our friends were still getting married, but they were doing the smaller wedding where I think the rules were 30 or 50 people in their back gardens. They didn't feel comfortable wearing a massive big poofy gown, something that wasn't in keeping with the venue and how things had changed. Coming out of COVID, people realised that you can actually be quite savvy with how you spend your money, just in keeping with people's lifestyles nowadays.
Are you finding that more and more brides are looking to buy things that they can rewear after their big day?
So they are pieces that we really do believe you can evolve into your wardrobe. It's not a one-time wear, especially the separates. Like, you could wear the little white jacket with some jeans, or those dresses you could take on your honeymoon.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
I'm Deborah Weitzman. Today, we're discussing budget-friendly bridal fashion amidst rising living costs for couples. We'll explore demand for cheaper off-the-rack wedding dresses, as well as sustainable choices like second-hand and rentals.
What a pity to kind of wrap it up in plastic and just never see it again. I think consumers these days are shopping with their wardrobes and sustainability so much more front and centre.
Also, we'll be investigating India's affordable high-end bridal replicas.
Welcome to our bridal suite. I'm so happy to have you here today. We'll take a seat on the chaise longue and then we can kind of look through the collection. So if someone wants something a bit more slinky, we've got those real kind of like lovely strapless pieces that the bride can wear that's not a big puffy, heavy ball gown where you just don't feel yourself.
Meet Henrietta Ricks, co-founder of the British fashion label Rixo. I'm currently at their brand new flagship store, located in the heart of Chelsea, which is one of London's most fashionable neighbourhoods.
We have the party pieces, which have the sequins and the feathers.
So what really stands out to me is the fact that these are ready-to-wear off-the-peg pieces. That must really simplify the shopping process for your brides.
100% different. We offer our styles from a UK size 6 to a size 20. So when the bride's trying on or looking at something, she doesn't have to wait 3 to 6 months for something to be custom made, to have several fittings, to travel to those fittings, take days off work, which I think is maybe a little bit dated now. She can really actually come in, have one appointment, and then actually go home that day with that piece.
How much are your dresses?
I mean, most of our dresses range around the £400-£500. Traditionally, maybe 5 years ago, there's no way you would find a bridal dress for that price point. To have anything tailor-made, you're talking minimum £1,000 upwards.
Here in the UK, brides shell out an average of £1,350 for their dream gown. That's around $1,700.
I am Dr. Serena Dyer and I am Associate Professor of Fashion History at De Montfort University in Leicester in the UK. Quite famously, Queen Victoria is credited with popularising the white wedding dress from her wedding in 1840, but she certainly didn't invent the tradition. Mary, Queen of Scots, for example, is believed to have worn white to her first wedding in 1559. So in European cultures, the white dress has become synonymous with the traditional wedding. The colour white has been associated with purity and virtue. It's also a colour that's quite hard to keep clean and launder, an opportunity to show off that you could afford this garment that would be impossibly impractical for day-to-day wear.
Fast forward to today, what traditions are brides bypassing to get the type of wedding look they're perhaps more comfortable with?
We're seeing both brides and grooms being more willing to express their own needs, whether that's through playing with gender norms, playing with colour, and the merging of cultural traditions. From a financial perspective, perhaps family inheritances for those lucky enough to have generational wealth are going towards house deposits rather than wedding dresses.
Fashion historian Serena Dyer there. Let's now return to the bridal showroom. Henrietta told me how proud she was to have launched their affordable wedding dresses during the pandemic, at a time when people were having to plan more minimalist celebrations.
We were almost ahead of the curve because we knew that people were starting to change their kind of ideas on how much they wanted to spend on a wedding and how ridiculous it was getting. And actually loads of our friends were still getting married, but they were doing the smaller wedding where I think the rules were 30 or 50 people in their back gardens. They didn't feel comfortable wearing a massive big poofy gown, something that wasn't in keeping with the venue and how things had changed. Coming out of COVID, people realised that you can actually be quite savvy with how you spend your money, just in keeping with people's lifestyles nowadays.
Are you finding that more and more brides are looking to buy things that they can rewear after their big day?
So they are pieces that we really do believe you can evolve into your wardrobe. It's not a one-time wear, especially the separates. Like, you could wear the little white jacket with some jeans, or those dresses you could take on your honeymoon.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
I'm Deborah Weitzman. Today, we're discussing budget-friendly bridal fashion amidst rising living costs for couples. We'll explore demand for cheaper off-the-rack wedding dresses, as well as sustainable choices like second-hand and rentals. What a pity to kind of wrap it up in plastic and just never see it again. I think consumers these days are shopping with their wardrobes and sustainability so much more front and centre.
Also, we'll be investigating India's affordable high-end bridal replicas.
Welcome to our bridal suite. I'm so happy to have you here today. We'll take a seat on the chaise longue and then we can kind of look through the collection. So if someone wants something a bit more slinky, we've got those real kind of like lovely strapless pieces that the bride can wear that's not a big puffy, heavy ball gown where you just don't feel yourself.
Meet Henrietta Ricks, co-founder of the British fashion label Rixo. I'm currently at their brand new flagship store, located in the heart of Chelsea, which is one of London's most fashionable neighbourhoods.
We have the party pieces, which have the sequins and the feathers.
So what really stands out to me is the fact that these are ready-to-wear off-the-peg pieces. That must really simplify the shopping process for your brides.
100% different. We offer our styles from a UK size 6 to a size 20. So when the bride's trying on or looking at something, she doesn't have to wait 3 to 6 months for something to be custom made, to have several fittings, to travel to those fittings, take days off work, which I think is maybe a little bit dated now. She can really actually come in, have one appointment, and then actually go home that day with that piece.
How much are your dresses?
I mean, most of our dresses range around the £400-£500. Traditionally, maybe 5 years ago, there's no way you would find a bridal dress for that price point. To have anything tailor-made, you're talking minimum £1,000 upwards.
Here in the UK, brides shell out an average of £1,350 for their dream gown. That's around $1,700.
I am Dr. Serena Dyer and I am Associate Professor of Fashion History at De Montfort University in Leicester in the UK. Quite famously, Queen Victoria is credited with popularising the white wedding dress from her wedding in 1840, but she certainly didn't invent the tradition. Mary, Queen of Scots, for example, is believed to have worn white to her first wedding in 1559. So in European cultures, the white dress has become synonymous with the traditional wedding. The colour white has been associated with purity and virtue. It's also a colour that's quite hard to keep clean and launder, an opportunity to show off that you could afford this garment that would be impossibly impractical for day-to-day wear.
Fast forward to today, what traditions are brides bypassing to get the type of wedding look they're perhaps more comfortable with?
We're seeing both brides and grooms being more willing to express their own needs, whether that's through playing with gender norms, playing with colour, and the merging of cultural traditions. From a financial perspective, perhaps family inheritances for those lucky enough to have generational wealth are going towards house deposits rather than wedding dresses.
Fashion historian Serena Dyer there. Let's now return to the bridal showroom. Henrietta told me how proud she was to have launched their affordable wedding dresses during the pandemic, at a time when people were having to plan more minimalist celebrations.
We were almost ahead of the curve because we knew that people were starting to change their kind of ideas on how much they wanted to spend on a wedding and how ridiculous it was getting. And actually loads of our friends were still getting married, but they were doing the smaller wedding where I think the rules were 30 or 50 people in their back gardens. They didn't feel comfortable wearing a massive big poofy gown, something that wasn't in keeping with the venue and how things had changed. Coming out of COVID, people realised that you can actually be quite savvy with how you spend your money, just in keeping with people's lifestyles nowadays.
Are you finding that more and more brides are looking to buy things that they can rewear after their big day?
So they are pieces that we really do believe you can evolve into your wardrobe. It's not a one-time wear, especially the separates, like you could wear the little white jacket with some jeans or those dresses you could take on your honeymoon.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 3. Aquí acaba la prueba de comprensión oral. Por favor, siga las instrucciones del profesorado en su aula.